I begin with a question, but don't answer it outwardly. Where is Christ right now? We know from Revelation, he's on the throne in the heavens. We know from Matthew 28, at the end, he's with us all the time. Then in Romans 8:10, Christ is in you. I mention this because the general subject of this message is Christ is the one who has all authority. So right now, Christ is on the throne with all authority in heaven and on earth. And Christ is with us with all authority in heaven and on earth. And now we're coming to the point. Christ, who is in you, is in you as the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. We have to begin with some of the objective points. But all the way through the outline and what, if I can be oneness with the Lord as he flows out, he wants to speak to each one of us. Because the subject is Christ as the one who has all authority. And every Christian at some point have to be touched by Christ's authority. And once it's been touched, they will know the limitation in their human and their spiritual living in a very healthy way. And so we'll go through the outline, point by point. And when we come to the very end, I'll just let you know, as I was preparing the last day or two, the Lord gave me an ending word. So I'll tell you what the chapter is and what it means, the way we end. And when I say the way we end in the meeting, it reminds me of something of our Christian life. Everything depends on how we end. The brother who wrote that hymn, 1225, I knew him when he came into the Lord's recovery in 1969. He was very gifted. But he was one among those in 1988 who rebelled against the Lord's recovery. That's why, my beloved saints, it's how we end. And as an old fella, according to the Lord's governmental arrangement, I'm still here. And I still have this requirement. Lord, you've been doing this. You started serving with Brother Lee in 1974. But it's how you end. So that's why day after day, I just ask the Lord for his mercy and his grace. So right now, God is giving grace to every one of you.
Amen.
What a wonderful God he is.
Amen.
Okay. Point one. We need to have the definition of authority. the best definition of authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience, often stemming from a position of power or experience, expertise. But B is the main point. In the Bible, authority is the moral right to exercise power, which is ultimately derived from and originates with God. So who has authority? Anybody over there have authority? No? On that side? No authority? Right in front? No authority? Sitting here? No authority? God in Christ has authority. Amen. And the Lord wants us, even in this being with us right here, He wants us to have a deep realization that we're living under the authority of God. Okay, section 2. God is the supreme authority. He has all authority. Notice, this begins with the word God. So again, if this were training, the question would be a little more direct. But now it will be indirect. Do you love God? Yeah. Romans 8, 28 and 29. To love God. Remember when the Lord, at the day He resurrected, and this seeking sister was there early, but He said, "Don't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended to my God." And when He came down, He said, "I was with my God and my Father, and He's your God and your Father." That we know not only Christ the Son, and more, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we can respond to His question, "Are you having fellowship with the Father?" And I believe the vast majority of us are in a rather early stage of learning how to have fellowship with the Father. But He's very patient, and He's waiting. And what's on His heart, He's waiting for this time when all of His children are come, have brought back home. He loves all the saints in the Lord's recovery, but He has the same love for all the saints all over the earth. And the time will come that we will all be home. But God is so merciful and loving that He is giving us the opportunity to come home and be with Him in His family. And then we realize He has all authority. And these points help us to understand the meaning of authority. God's authority represents God Himself. God's power represents only God's works. God's authority is actually God Himself. authority issues out from God's own being. When God is expressing His authority, it's coming from His own being. This indicates His deep concern, but also His loving kindness. But we have to realize the authority comes out from God's being. This is not just doctrine. This is happening at this very moment. He wants us, as His children, to make this real, to develop it in your daily living. See, all authority, spiritual, positional, and governmental, derives from God. So genuine spirituality that comes from God. When we touch God's authority, we touch God Himself. I can't mention in detail, but I look back upon spring of 1966. I had finished my theology study in Princeton from 64. But I had made somehow a decision. I will only accept and do the perfect will of God. I still don't know where that came from. Whoever prayed that for my benefit, I will not accept His permissive will. And so for the next 2 years, this came out, that came out, I realized it's not God's will. It's not God's will. And then on a Thursday evening in 1966, after much serious studying of all the different denominations, I'm still seeking to be one with the triune God. And that's when I made the decision. I'm leaving every aspect of Christianity and to just follow the leading to the West. There I'll find Him. And then I met a brother. He realized you've been, in the way we've been praying, some brothers were praying together. He said, you've been reading the ministry material of Brother Watchman Nee. Don't you know that he has a companion, Witness Lee? He lives in Los Angeles. And then he gave me some material. This is to show how God is really God. Prior to that, my wife at the time, of course, that's the one who passed away years ago. While she was working, I was just studying Ephesians in English and in Greek. And I came to chapter 3 again, verses 10 and 11, 9, 10 and 11. I said, I don't know anyone who knows the meaning of these verses. If there is one, I will follow him. Then when I got to the West, and this brother I just mentioned, he gave me some ministry material. And one was a little magazine. Then I opened it up, It has 3 points. The second point was an explanation of those verses. And I realize I have not met him yet, but I can have trust in him. This is something genuine. And that is why from the time I met Brother Lee face to face, and then starting in 1974, a few years later, he just wanted me to come back to the West, to where we are living now, and work with me on the life study of the Bible for the next 24 years. The point that I'm mentioning to is not my personal history. But prior to that, two mature saints, in a sense, dealt with me to say, Ron, you've got to be careful about God's authority. One brother and one sister. And I just thank the Lord for his kindness that I could come into the Lord's recovery under his authority and can express the authority when it's clearly made through a member of the body. But I'm trying to say this is not just an idea, saints. When we touch God's authority, we touch God himself. Meeting God's authority is the same as meeting God. Offending God's authority is the same as offending God himself. And point E is very important. In our relationship with God, nothing is more important than touching authority. On one side, we're touched by the authority. Then here we touch authority. And it will take place. Don't be afraid about it. This is not anything negative. But God the Father wants you to know in an experiential way that my authority is real. And my authority is touching you. And then from your point of view, you're touching it. And now it's settled forever. And so in my inner being, I believe the Lord has the intention to bring his authority in a personal way to you. And the word you is plural, and the word is single. I'm talking to each one of you. Let God's authority touch you. Amen. Be open to touch God's authority and settle this matter forever. And by forever, I mean in the new heaven and the new earth. His authority will be manifested forever. Then F, knowing authority is an inward revelation rather than an outward teaching. Only God is the direct authority to man. All other authorities are indirect authorities, delegated authorities, deputy authorities appointed by God. So God's authority is expressed through various people and in the Lord's recovery through brothers and sisters. But actually, when God is expressing his authority through a member of the body, the brother's not saying, God just told me that I have to let you know that his authority is flowing in me. And I've had a lot of experience about authority. No, you have no feeling about yourself. But because you are in oneness with God and His authority, He can flow through you without your realizing it. But the receiving one touches something. And they realize it's not you, but it came out through you. Only when we meet God's authority can we submit to delegated authorities whom God appointed. So there are delegated authorities. And so we may have a contact with them, but only when we meet God's authority can we submit to the delegated authorities. So when I came into the Lord's recovery, I was 26. The elders, three of the four, were 30. But I realized they were elders. And it was just, in a sense, so simple. Just to have the realization authority is flowing through them. Two, God requires that we submit not only to Him, but to all the delegated authorities. Those who do not submit to God's indirect authority cannot submit to God's direct authority. And many of us realize to see this take place even in the local church where you were, that the elders or the leading brothers, they're not overstepping. They're just obeying what the Lord has required them to do. But if we don't sense that God's authority is flowing through someone who delegates, then we're far off. And so I pause for a moment. There are two ways we can have a thorough understanding and experience of authority. It's either during our lifetime, or it's during for the next 1,000 years. And according to a verse in Luke, in chapter 12, toward the end, there are two kinds of Christians that will be standing before the Lord. And the vast majority can honestly say, I didn't know. They're not making an excuse. They could say, I never heard. I didn't know. The Lord would say, I know. You had no opportunity. But you have to learn in the coming age, with much less dealing, there's much more learning. But every now and then, and now it's one of the times, I just bring it to the consideration of brothers and sisters. We are blessed that so much of the divine truth has been made known. When Brother Lee was ministering the highest aspect of his ministry, his whole life, from 1994 to 1997, he was on the same level as the apostles at the end of the first century. That the highest revelation has been made known. And we have the blessing But now that we know, when we stand before the judgment seat, we won't be able to say, I didn't know. So on the one side, with God's tender careness, He makes these things known to us through the ministry of the age. But now we have responsibility that so many saints don't have. But I think deep within, you receive this, but deep within you realize, I'm so thankful that I received the truth concerning these matters here and now.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord and praise the Lord for this. And then I want to concentrate myself to you again with this in front of me. And I just need your life supply and your grace that I can learn and experience what you have made known. And here it comes to His authority. So those who do not submit to God's indirect authority, I'm rereading, cannot submit to God's direct authority. That's why even when your children are growing up, if they can be trained to honor and respect their parents, even when they're teenagers, and when they're young adults, they can be a proper human being, even with their own marriage and family. It's a kind of a human picture of this. God wants us to submit indirect authority, delegated authorities, so that we may receive spiritual supply. And a number of us, they can honestly testify this, just by taking the way of honoring God's perfect will and recognizing authority is being expressed here. And I'm at peace to be in one with this. And then the Lord will give us a marvelous spiritual supply. Okay, now we come to another section. That's three. There are two great principles in the universe: God's authority and Satan's rebellion. The unique controversy between God and Satan concerns authority. This is the battle in the universe that began when the being that we know as Satan, when he began to rebel. So actually, all over the earth, there's only two categories for human beings: rebelling or obeying authority. There's nothing in between. And so we see some helpful points here. Satan was originally an archangel created by God, but due to his pride, he uplifted himself, violated God's severity, rebelled against God, became God's adversary, and established his own kingdom. So there are two kingdoms. The two kingdoms are at war at this very moment. When man sinned, he rebelled against God, denied God's authority, and rejected God's rule. At Babel, men rebelled collectively against God to abolish God's authority from the earth. And we all know what the Lord did for the human beings on the earth, different languages, sending them all over the earth. B, although Satan rebelled against God's authority, and although man violates his authority by rebelling against him, God will not let this rebellion continue. He will establish his kingdom on the earth.
Amen.
This is a key point. He will establish his kingdom on the earth. Well, how did the Lord do it? The Lord Jesus himself, during the 3.5 years of his ministry, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the apostles, the gospel they preach is the gospel of the kingdom. Then those who receive that and are born again and baptized, and they're brought into the church life, and they realize the church is, in a practical way, the kingdom of God. I've known some saints who realize this, that the church is a family. I really enjoyed this part. But in this case, it was a she, but the E's were even more. But this idea of kingdom, I don't like that. Well, you don't have your choice. We are in a kingdom. But there ain't no kings. There are some that may represent him, but we're actually in the kingdom by being in the church life. So the sin of rebellion is more serious, point B, than any other kind of sin. Rebellion. And in 2019, during and right after the summer training, there was rebellion directly taking place. I don't want to go into the detail, but the person who took the lead, she went further and further. And only the Lord knows the seriousness of this kind of rebellion. So now the next section gives us a view of following deputy authority. A person who represents God with authority is deputy authority, must have the following qualifications. So again, someone with God's authority, this is someone expressing his authority, deputy authority. So all these points will be experiential for us. A, he must submit to authority. He must submit to authority. B, he must realize that in himself, he has no authority. I hope all the co-workers and all the elders realize they do not have any authority in them. The authority may flow through them, but it's not part of their being. Just because they have this position. See, he must know God's will. Must know God's will. Well, this could be a conference all by itself, but something brief. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said he created everything in heaven and on earth because of his will. God's will is the source of everything that exists on the positive side. Then what is the perfect will of God? Okay, in Colossians, it's very clear. The perfect will of God is that Christ would be all-inclusive to you experientially. You settled that. If I want to do God's will, I must be one learning to experience and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ. Then in Ephesians, the will is the body, the new man. Once we have settled this in our relationship with the Lord, Lord, I know now why I'm here, why I was created, why I was saved, why I was brought here, that your perfect will could be carried out through Christ and the church. Then we can, and then we should come to the Lord and say, what is your will, your perfect will for me? And some of you here, you're in this, exactly in this matter between you and the Lord. What is your will? And we have to make this decision. I may not know, and I actually don't know what his perfect will is for me again and again. But Lord, I want to settle this. You have not only the authority, but you have your will and your desire. And I just say, yes, I want to live every aspect. And once I made that decision, then the Lord could do whatever he wanted. So that's why when my wife passed away, and some tried to give some suggestions about this or that sister, I asked them to stop or just adding to the pain. I just realized the next step will come out from God's perfect will. And when it came to this, God's perfect will was not for the USA, but it was for another part of the earth. God is wonderful. Okay. D, he must be one who denies the self. So we have to know the self and deny it. He must be one with the Lord and live in constant and intimate fellowship with the Lord. Constant and intimate fellowship with the Lord. He must not be subjective and must not act according to his own feeling. Oh, you have feeling. Yes, you do have a feeling, but it may not be a divine feeling. So you have to bring your feeling to the Lord. I have this feeling. Don't hide it. But Lord, is it just from me? Apply the cross. If you are the source, may it be done. G, he must be kind and gracious in dealing with others. H, he must be a person in resurrection, living in the resurrection life of Christ. This is of utmost importance. And we should just ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be a person living in resurrection. When I'm living in resurrection, I'm really in the life of Christ. J, he must be able to bear offenses. And every now and then they'll come around. But eventually, they won't bother you at all. K, he must have a consciousness of his inability and unsuitability. But we realize, I'm not able. But not in a kind of self-judgment, but just the realization, I'm unable. He eventually reached the point. I was so happy to reach the point to tell the Lord, I can't do anything. Because in myself, I am nothing. I have nothing. I can't do nothing. You are everything. It's such a release. L, you must be one who represents God properly. Now, for the length of the message, and the is about prayer. And this is not a training. This is a conference. But I just want to say just a tiny bit. I read this in both Brother Nee's writing, Brother Lee's speaking. They both had this expression, prayer that is not prayer. It's prayer, according to the appearance of it. The words seem to be like that. Maybe the person is the source of it. But you have to be honest to say this is prayer. But in 1982, when Brother Lee was having a training for all the leading brothers all over the earth for 2 weeks, I wasn't a leading one, but Brother Lee wanted me just to be there. And then one day he said, tomorrow morning, come a half an hour early to have a prayer meeting. And so we obeyed him. We said of 8:30, we came at 8. And then he came in. And then you'll see it in this book, the Elder Training, Book 2, Chapter 10. He said, when I came in, I couldn't participate in your praying. It's just all independent, so-called praying. And I remember clearly he said, first of all, his view is when there's a prayer meeting, this is a body matter. Then he gave an example of, you know, have a ball. And you want to go down to the other end to put it in. It's just one ball. You don't have every player has his own ball. There's one ball that you pass it around because you have the same goal personally. And he said that's what prayer should be. And he said every prayer should not be more than 2 seconds. And then when I was in prayer church meetings when he was there, it was a marvelous arrangement. But that was just a side-by point to realize the most, we'll start this again, the most important prayer and the most spiritual prayer is the prayer of authority. The most important prayer. The most spiritual prayer is the prayer of authority. So we'll just walk through this to get an opening. The prayer of authority is a command based on authority. The Lord has released the authority. Now when the praying, the prayer is demanding that something take place. The prayer of authority is a commanding prayer. If we wish to have weighty and valuable prayers before God, we need to be able to give out some authoritative commands before God. Weighty and valuable prayers. B, the prayer of authority has 2 aspects, binding and loosing. And just 2 points. But I believe hundreds of us of what I'm about to read, you know very well from various meetings. Ordinary prayers are prayers that ask God to bind and loose. You ask God. That's an ordinary prayer. 2, prayers with authority are those in which we bind and loose by exercising authority. And many of us have been in a meeting with both of these were there. Lord, we just ask you to bind, to loose. But if we really have the view from the Word, we realize these are prayers with authority. And so we use them to bind and loose. That's exercising authority. C, praying with authority is praying the prayer of Mark, chapter 11, verses 20-24. A prayer that is directed not to God, but to, quote, this mountain. And if you read and study these verses, you'll see what the Lord is saying. That the prayer is not directed to God, but to this mountain. That is something that God wants to be dealt with. So you prayed to and with God regarding the situation. And your praying is continuing, but it's now being focused on the problem, on the situation. A prayer with authority is not asking God directly. Rather, it is dealing with problems by directly applying God's authority. So I hope the vast majority of us would just have the inner feeling of learning. Lord, I just want to learn in a personal and corporate way. This is something I've never heard before about this kind of prayer with authority, applying God's authority. Then what a point is point three. The most important work of the overcomers is to bring the authority of the throne to earth. If we want to be an overcomer, we must learn to pray with authority and speak to the mountain. I just want to stay here for a minute, the second part. If we want to be an overcomer, and I believe almost all of us are, we may wonder how to be it, how to do it, but we have the hope. Well, this is one way of it's taking place. If we want to be an overcomer, we must learn to pray with authority. And this is not my writing. This is Brother Lee's statement. We must learn to pray with authority. I repeat, we must learn to pray with authority. So this is the requirement. The decision is up to you. That you want to have this kind of prayer. We must learn to pray. Yes, I'm emphasizing it. To pray with authority and speak to the mountain. So that's what we're praying. Then we can speak directly to the thing that we're dealing with. This is our oneness with the all-inclusive Christ. Okay, D. When the church prays with authority, it rules over Hades. I like this. When the church prays with authority. So the church may have a prayer meeting without authority, or prayers that are with authority. But when the church prays with authority, it rules over Hades. The church has the authority to rule over every satanic thing. This is a very encouraging statement. The church has the authority to rule over every satanic thing. But ruling over Satan in this way is based upon prayers with authority. The Lord is praying for us that we will begin to pray through learning this way. The church should subdue all the activities of the evil spirits by means of prayer, and should exercise dominion through prayer. Just D 1 and 2. Is really focused on the church. When the church prays, how the church prays. I want to be very careful that I'm just speaking in a general way. Whenever I'm home, I go to the church prayer meeting, always. But after it's over, I just wonder how many of the saints verbally prayed. And usually it's about 20%. Some can pray between 8 and 12 times. I have to be careful because it's not a training. But if we are praying with authority and we are in oneness in this way, and the atmosphere is of the body, then we're all praying the same thing. It's just like we have the ball, and the prayer is da-da, da-da-da, 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 one after another. The same atmosphere. This is praying with authority. Point E. To help me remember, I just put three marks. This. In other words, Ron, don't skip this one. I say that because I've done it. Okay. If we would pray the prayer of authority, we must first submit to God's authority ourselves. Unless we submit to God's authority with respect to his position and submit to his authority in our daily living and in all practical matters, we cannot pray with authority. So I ask now all the brothers to read this again with an exercise spirit, and then the sisters read this. The Lord really wants to impress all the churches with what's in this point. So the brothers, than the sisters.
If we would pray the prayer of authority, we must first submit to God's authority ourselves. Unless we submit to God's authority with respect to his position and submit to his authority in our daily living and in all practical matters, we cannot pray with authority.
This is so you notice this point on authority in our daily living. and in all practical matters. Like how we drive our car, for instance. Or how we talk, our conversations. These are daily living, practical matters. So the Lord wants to train us in our daily living and in practical matters to be under authority with the goal that we can pray of authority. F, the prayer of authority has heaven as its starting point and earth as its destination. One and two under them. A prayer with authority is prayed from heaven to earth. It begins from a heavenly position and goes downward from heaven to earth. Okay, a prayer with authority is prayed from heaven. Then some might be wondering, then, we're here on earth. But how can I pray with authority when I'm on the earth? We have to be in heaven. Well, look at Ephesians chapter 2. We actually are physically here. Right now we're sitting with the Lord in the heavens. It's easy to understand. We can read the words. But actually, we are here and we're there. But a little comment here. Ordinarily, in the experiential side, okay, when I'm here, then I'm able to pray in this way. But when I'm occupied with so many other things, like in my daily work, I can't do it for hours. But the Lord may come along, and He will. He said, pray, read in Hebrews chapter 4. Come to the throne. Then the following verses, the separation of our soul and spirit. And this is a very important personal experience. When our soul and our spirit are separated, we can then be in two realms at the same time. If you're teaching in high school, you're very occupied with what you're teaching and what all the kids are doing and saying. But if the soul and spirit have been separated, you're in the two realms at the same time. And so on the one hand, you're dealing with the situation, but inwardly, you're in contact with the Lord. And actually, according to Matthew 24, about two men in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women grinding, one taken, the other left. These are both believers. But at the very moment, maybe one was not abiding in the Lord. And when the Lord, we don't know how He'll come to rapture someone. I don't think it will be a trumpet. It will be something inwardly. And at that moment, even though you are grown in life to maturity, at that moment, you're not abiding in Him. And you're not in the spiritual realm at the same time. That is why these things need to be, we need to learn personally and corporately. In this way, the position of prayer is ascension, and the authority of prayer is also ascension. All prayers in ascension are prayers of authority. So there's just much in this part of the outline is for our learning. So we have to start somewhere. Nothing to be ashamed about. We're learners. We should have this feeling, I'm a learner my whole life. And so this is something fresh to me, but I'm willing to learn. And I ask the Lord, you are the teacher. Then we need to know what is ascension, spiritually speaking. The prayer of authority is the prayer by the one who is able to give out commands by standing in the position of ascension. If we are in the position of ascension, our prayer will be equal to God's administration. It will be the executing of His commands. So I hope that a number of the saints, because we're at different stages of experience and growing in life, that some, if they reread the outline again, the Lord may inwardly indicate, I want to focus on you on this. You're ready for this kind of training. And to understand what ascension is. And this is what I do almost every day in my studying and preparing outlines, whatever. I just put on my iPad and put it Living Stream Ministry Search. Ooh. And then there's something else. Then you just put in the word. If I want to put on the word of authority or ascension, then I could get hundreds of verses on the ministry. It's a wonderful way. And the brothers that did this on behalf of the recovery, the Lord will bless them. Just consider this. That on the one hand, I'm happy to receive emails with questions about this. Would you help me explain this and that? As much as I can, I'd like to do it. I don't know if I've ever said yet. I said, I'm not troubled by it. But why don't you learn how to also do it on your own? Just go to Living Stream Ministry Search, put in the word, and you'll get all kinds of material. Because this is not Christianity. It's not that certain ones do the work and then they give it all to you like you're ordinary people. If you read in Ephesians 4, we all have our portion. But don't worry, I'm still going to respond to your emails. You know, while I'm still here, don't be reluctant. Okay. Okay, H, the final section. And then we have just, as I mentioned, another verse. When we come to the point where we have the heavenly position and the heavenly authority and are thus able to utter forth authoritative prayers. We are on the throne, reigning with Christ. See? That's what it says. That's what the verses say. Like Revelation 3:21. I'll read that to you later, meaning a couple minutes later. At this time, our prayer is not only an authoritative prayer, but also a reigning prayer. And our prayer becomes God's administration, the execution of God's rule. Two, if we are willing to learn. If we are willing to learn, we will arrive at a place where we can utter such prayers for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. I just wonder what would happen, because these messages are being heard all over the earth. If a few thousand saints made this decision, Lord, I'm willing to learn. I want to learn to pray in this way. Let's say 4,000 or 5,000 saints all over the earth in 70 or 80 different countries are just willing to learn to pray with authority. And what would happen? Like my wife and I and an older lady, just twice a week for about 25 minutes each time, just praying in the spirit of the body. What would be happening if these little groups, 2, 3, or 4, once or twice a week, thousands of them, for this kind of prayer? To me, it's just beyond my understanding. God has been waiting for this kind of corporate prayer in the body for centuries. Why don't we make God happy? This has become part of this. And I just do it with my wife and this other sister. But I'm in the house and she's praying with these two. Then another two. Especially with sisters in 2s and 3s. You're deeper. And your prayers are crucial. And the Lord will know. He'll remember. When you stand before Him, He would say, you were faithful in praying. And now, I'm giving you a gift. You're a co-king. But be first that. Be part of the bride. I'm coming to get married. And now, Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes, to him I will give to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on His throne. And here is the footnote. To sit with the Lord on His throne will be a prize to the overcomer. coming one, that he may participate in the Lord's authority and be a co-king with him in ruling over the whole earth in the coming millennial kingdom. I want to read this again. And soon as I read, then let's pray with someone nearby. And I had fellowship with the brothers. Then we'll have plenty of time to come to the microphone for 30 seconds. But this time, only saints 30 and over. We need from this category of saints. So even if you're way back over there in the middle of a row and the Lord leads you, you'll have time to just walk up here. Because I sincerely say, when you come to the microphone and you'll have 25 minutes to share, that will complete the message. So I just read it again, and then you pray. To sit with the throne on his throne, to sit with the Lord on his throne, will be a prize to the overcoming. That he may participate in the Lord's authority and be a co-king with him in ruling over the whole earth in the coming millennial kingdom. Amen. Time to pray and then share.